Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix. It's episode 77, and I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm the heartthrob of Marissa Tomei, Dave Rabbit.
Does she know that you're the heartthrob?
No, but I wish she would. I love that broad. Oh, she's so hot. Anyway, that's another story. Got a great show, John. I'm really excited. Tell them about it.
Yes, on this show, of course, we're going to start off with our international sightings from around the world.
Yeah, and then after that, we have a mystery guest, brand new mystery guest.
Yep, and then, of course, we have our one and only CEO, the Skeptic Overlord, Bill Irvin. He's going to step up and tell us what some of his favorite threads are and share some other information with us.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun, too. And it's a really good segment. We talk about all kinds of interesting things, including my newest hot flash, Marissa Tomei. And
are you being sarcastic?
No. He was a lot of fun. I mean, he always says his shows aren't fun. I thought he was really hilarious today, sunburn and all. And then we have an interesting interview with one of our old pals that we met back at the Bay Area UFO Expo in August of 2007, our old bud John Rhodes. And boy, John, does he have some information that's going to blow people away, man.
Yeah. In fact, since some people might not go to the thread and see the link, why don't you tell everybody what his website is?
Yeah, when the show's, as you're listening to the show, if you would go to his website, which is www.reptoids.com. That's www.reptoids.com, and follow along with us. You're going to be really blown away.
Yeah, you are. And then, of course, we end the show with the one and only Rabbit's Rant.
Yeah, and it's an interesting rant. We have some fun with it. And Marissa, wherever you are, I love you, babe.
And so, Marissa, join along with us now as we start our show.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Ah, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
This is Tamaril from GodBoxCafe.com with sightings reported across Canada. On the east coast of Vancouver Island in British Columbia at approximately 1 a.m. on April 15th, a resident reported the appearance of two white dots which transformed into an array of lights hovering side by side and turning amber as they both moved towards a fixed amber light, which in turn appeared to change shape from a sphere to a V to a horizontal elongated shape while engaging with the other moving lights. With the use of binoculars, the witness then added that the size, color, and number of the moving objects would change upon merging with the amber light, which they would always approach from the right. At first flickering bright white, then bursting into red, and finally becoming amber as well. This happened repeatedly for the hour and a half they were viewed. On a sunny afternoon in Burnaby, British Columbia, on April 15th, a witness reported looking out their office window, which faces southwest, to spot a stubby cone-shaped object moving eastbound at approximately 600 feet. The witness remarked that the object was moving with the nose of the cone pointing up against the wind. On April 16th at 9:15 p.m. in Glace Bay, Nova Scotia, a witness reported seeing two bright red objects approaching from a westerly direction at a great height, moving side by side, then crossing over each other in what seemed to be a high-speed game of who could outmaneuver whom. The witness had hoped to capture the acrobatics on camera, but the spheres shot out of range too quickly. Moving back to the West Coast, on the next day at 4:15 p.m., a woman was walking her dog in Castlegar, British Columbia, when she looked out over the mountaintops to see an object shaped like a horizontal tear, hovering motionless for about 20 seconds. The front of the object was light gray in color, growing darker in the back. It had no lights or reflective properties, and made no sound as it suddenly veered off out of view beyond the mountains. This is Tamaril from God Box Cafe, reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Reporting sightings from around Europe, this is Sam Willey of AlienationSam.com and UFO-radio.net. This week, a recently reported sighting from the Isle of Wight, England. The incident was recently reported to HBCC UFO Research. Details a sighting from a few years ago during the summertime. The witness was travelling home in the car along with three of the friends at around 10 p.m. in the evening. He stated in his report that he suddenly felt the urge to look into the dark night sky when he saw six round red lights forming a square. He noticed this strange occurrence through the car's sunroof, which made him alert his friends, who looked to see the objects suddenly begin doing a spinning motion and zigzagging erratically. The witness stated, "When it stopped in a certain place, it would spin and then move to another position." The witness has been able to conclude this object was unlike anything he has seen before, and he just wishes that he had recorded the event, as it has been imprinted in his mind ever since. This is Sam Willie reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Midland, Michigan, an observer saw a vapor trail followed by a bright object at the end. The object was very bright and oval in shape. The oval object was reported to be about 1 to 1.5 miles in the air, with a vapor trail appearing about twice the size of the object. The trail was cylindrical in shape as it was spiraling. It took about a minute and a half to travel from east to west. In Oregon, an observer noticed a bright white light. The light was of a very bright intensity and very white in color. The intensity and color remained constant. It traveled at a constant velocity and did not seem to change direction or height. The light then went behind some trees that were about a half mile away or so. The light would disappear as its view was interrupted by a tree and then reappear when the view was unobstructed. When the light passed beyond the trees, the observer was able to see that the light was fairly distant, maybe 5 to 10 miles away, and that it was traveling fairly rapidly. Its size was about 5 to 8 times that of the biggest star in the sky. The whole sighting lasted about 5 minutes. In Texas, a viewer saw two very short chemtrails in the northeastern sky. Short as in, if one held a dime at arm's width up to it in the sky, the chemtrails were shorter than even a dime. The viewer stated, "They were going straight down. I immediately thought it was strange. Chemtrails don't usually go straight down." Right below the chemtrails was an object. The object was not moving in any direction. It was staying in one place. The chemtrails disappeared and the object was still there. I could not make out the shape of the object or color, but it seemed to be a reflective surface because the sun was rising and the object appeared to be getting brighter as the sun rose. Or maybe it was like a light getting brighter or dimmer. Not sure, but it seemed more like a solid object, not a light. At one point, it seemed to get smaller or dimmer, but then returned to its original size or brightness. This is David C. reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
Now, from the AboveTopSecret.com mobile headquarters team, currently begging for gas money outside a Quickie Mart in Wichita, Kansas, it's the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous.
We've got ourselves some prominent folks from all around the world. They can say whatever they want from the soapbox.
Okay, John, let's see who's going to be up on the soapbox this time. Spin okay. That wheel.
All right, here we go.
From the soapbox, it's, excuse me. Could you maybe introduce yourself, please?
Hi, this is Jeff Danlick up on my soapbox. I'm an author for Llewellyn Worldwide and a writer for Fate Magazine. He specializes in writing about the paranormal, four key phenomenon, religion, and spirituality. I don't think that automatically makes me a kook, but you can read my stuff and decide that for yourself. So whether it's UFOs or Bigfoot, alien abductions or ghosts, or even reincarnation or Roswell, I examine the complete range of mysteries out there in an objective and hopefully entertaining manner. Why? Because I believe we live in a curious world that entices us to unravel its many mysteries. I also believe there are many people out there who, like myself and maybe you, wonder about these things and would appreciate having someone to talk to about them. If you feel the same way, let's start a dialogue. Just go to my website at www.ourcuriousworld.com. Take a look at my articles, drop me a post. I'd love to hear what you think about those things you believe your friends would call you crazy for talking about. Also, take a moment to look over my books. I'm really excited about my Atlantis book that's coming out this month from Llewellyn. And I'm looking forward to UFOs, The Great Debate, also coming out from Llewellyn in December. They're both a little bit different takes on these subjects I think that you would find interesting. Anyway, it should be an interesting year for both skeptics and believers alike. Or, at least it will be if I have anything to do with it. This is Jeff Daly stepping down from my soapbox, wishing you a great day. talk to you soon.
Here's a Dave and Johnny classic blast from your past.
In three, two, three.
Just go now.
That's been going on for many years. In fact, Johnny Carson had Mr. Randy on his show to try to prove Uri Geller couldn't bend spoons and whatnot. And what they did was they took all the spoons or all the silverware that Uri Geller was going to use during the episode, and they substituted it with their own. And Uri Geller couldn't perform. And Carson kind of made a mockery of Geller.
Really?
Yeah, it was a fantastic episode. I should try to find it. I have it somewhere in my.
Well, you know that I'm going to do a sidebar. You know the series that's out right now called The Phenomenon. Have you heard about it?
Yes, which I believe Uri Geller and also
Eric Geller and there's what's that other guy's name?
You know what? I just had him on the tip of my tongue. He does Mind Freak.
Yeah, it does Mind Freak. Is his name Chris something or other?
Chris Angel, yes.
Chris Angel. Now, I have to say this. We might as well go ahead and do this in this one because, I mean, he's one of the responses, and here's yours and my natural response. That Chris Angel guy, I mean, really does freak me out. I mean, he really does. I mean, I understand that, you know, nobody in this world levitates. I mean, I'm sorry. You're not going to convince me that you really levitate. But how they do this blows me away. I mean, it really blows me away. Just like the Houdini things that I've seen, the people that's come down the way. You know, I mean, there's magician after magician after magician after magician that, you know, when they do things, it blows me away. Yes, it's trickery. Yes, it's sleight of hand. Yes, I understand all that stuff, but it still blows me away. But did you see or hear about the Chris Angel confrontation with one of the people that were performing one night?
No, I did not.
And this is on, you know, they're doing this on live TV, John. This is what I find amazing. I mean, I'm sure they got a 7-second delay. But Chris Angel and the premise, if nobody's seen this thing, is that they've invited 20 or so people that are magicians, and every week they put up 5 or 6 of them. And they do their act live, and they involve in the participation process whoever is part of the panel of not judges like them, Uri or whatever his name is. And
it's like American Idol for the paranormal.
Yeah. But they always have like 3 kind of people that are stars or whatever that they can pull up and participate in a thing, you know, to involve, you know, for ratings probably. Anyway, to make a long story short.
Please.
In all the things that go on and happen, this guy does this thing, and it has something to do with an envelope. Well, when they're up there at the end of doing their deal and they're getting up in front of the Chris and Uri to have them make their comments, you know. Now, of course, people call in to actually vote them on or off. But these two guys are making their comments. Well, Chris Angel says, hey, you know, basically, you can see the card through the envelope, dude. You know, what's the matter with you? You know, that was the most worst act I've ever seen or whatever. And I mean, he's really laying it on this guy. Well, this guy gets totally PO'd and he starts coming to Chris Angel. And then Chris Angel jumps up off his couch and starts coming to him. And then the host of the thing, some Brit, he starts saying, well, this live TV, folks, and then they go immediately to a commercial. Well, I went to the NBC site because they always put all these things up, you know, to where if you miss this, you can see it. You know, you can see the backgrounds on Heroes and all the other things and whatever, but it wasn't there. So I assume they yanked it. But here's the deal, and this is my whole point, and I know you're going, what's your point, Dave? My point is this. I have been mystified all my life by those that perform magic of any kind or that have any kind of powers. This story that you just told me on the Carson show, I do remember that, John. This is, what was this, 15 years ago maybe?
Probably, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
When Uri was just starting out and everybody was just...
No, he'd been out for quite a while.
But I mean, he was really his notoriety. He was at the peak of his notoriety. He was on
the cover of several magazines. Exactly. And
so they switched his spoons, and so now he's on the Carson Show trying to bend spoons. And so what did he say, John? I don't remember seeing that episode. Do you remember anything?
Well, sure I do. He said that the feeling wasn't right. That he was getting a lot of negative thoughts, and that it wouldn't work if there were a lot of negative thoughts. He had an answer for it, and I thought it was very clever. But very interesting episode. If anybody ever gets a chance to, I don't know or believe that it is in part of the Johnny Carson collection that you see on the infomercials. But I'm sure that if you were to Google The Amazing Randy, and I believe The Amazing Randy is spelled R-A-N-D-I. I believe that's how he spells his name. And then also Johnny Carson and Uri Geller. Have all three of those names in the same Google search line. I bet it would pull it up somewhere, and you'd be able to get more information on it, or maybe even see the archive video. But it's truly something, because you can see that, because Carson was a semi-professional magician in his own right. And he practiced magic and sleight of hand. Right. And of course, the Amazing Randy would come on to these programs and try to disprove these people of having any ability at all. And that's why Uri Geller wasn't able to perform his trick. See, there's a difference between Chris Angel. When you watch Chris Angel, you know you're watching a trick, an illusion.
Right.
What Uri Geller has always tried to present is that what he is doing is factual, and that's not true at all.
Right.
Unless he's demonized or possessed by something that allows him to have some type of manifest. And please, I don't want a bunch of you two slamming
Johnny at.
Yeah, right.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
And thanks for sticking with us at the ATS Mix. It is time right now for what we affectionately call the Skeptic Overview. That must mean that we have the one and only Bill Irvin back from his riding lawnmower under the brim of his hat while doing his yard work, humming the tune, Here Comes the Sun. It's Mr. Sunburn himself. Bill, hi. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, just wonderful. Yeah, I'm an hour late today. I was outside doing the crap around the house, and, oh, geez, look at the time. Oh, screw it, It's just Johnny Anonymous and Dave Rabbit. Who cares, right?
Yeah, who cares?
That's right. But,
by the way, have you had a chance to listen to your house recorder yet? Your home recorder? Your home phone?
Oh, no, because you guys probably left a message, right?
Yeah, you'll want to delete that real quick.
Well, actually, it's not that bad, but, I mean, you might not want the kids and the wife to see.
Oh, really?
Well, it's not nasty. There's nothing. It's all FCC compliant. It's just said, Johnny.
It's a Dave and Johnny recording.
And I said, this is a home phone, don't you? Johnny goes, oh. So then we have to do a quick disclaimer.
I'm sure you guys were very polite.
We were very polite. Yeah, right. No, we really were. All right. Well, we've killed all. Because I know you've got. I have looked at the newsletter. And by the way, any members that haven't subscribed to the newsletter from ATS needs to do so, because what you get with that weekly newsletter is the absolute hottest things that are going on ATS. And I'm telling you, there's some really magnificent threads this week, Bill.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because of the fact that I just completely lost track of who I am, where I am, and what I'm doing, I didn't spend a lot of time getting ready for the threads today. It's just, when you're running the ATS and you're working from home like this, the days turn into a blur. And is today Saturday or is it Sunday? Is it Tuesday? So that's that was also part of the problem. But anyway, I'm looking.
Well, I've got the hot ones up if you want to.
Yeah, I've got the hot ones up too. And our number one thread,
right,
which is sort of a takeoff on something we've seen the president of Iran talk about, and the 242 replies. The thread author is it's one of those silly name. It's JKrog08. And posted on April 18th, titled, America is the most powerful nation ever in all capitals. And And this page seems to think the U.S. will lose a war with Iran. He's linking to a thread. Well, all I have to say is there's no way the U.S. would lose a war with Iran. And that was all caps.
Right.
Furthermore, some claim we are tyrannical. No, we utilize our international police power to uphold civility in the world. Well, as you can imagine, just by that much in the opening post, you can speculate as to why this thread received 242 replies in just a matter of days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To open a thread that way on a conspiracy site, the back and forth got rather interesting. But it's a very entertaining thread to go through. The next most popular thread posted by the author named The Coward. And could this be the best UFO footage ever? And he begins, I don't know anymore. So many hoaxers and dirty rats in this world. I have found some footage, and it's pretty impressive. Now, I don't know if it's CGI or other hoaxed stuff, but it does look cool. I will show it here in hopes that you guys tear it to shreds and see if something real might be behind this. If it's proven fake, no biggie. What I will bring will soon blow your minds. In the meantime, please enjoy. And I saw the video, and yeah, it is rather interesting. It's not a clear fake. It's a video of someone apparently standing in their backyard, videotaping what appears to be a UFO off in the distance. But again, it's one of those silly things where the person holding the camera doesn't say, "Oh my God, look at that! A flying saucer in the air."
Right, right.
And there's no other supporting kinds of sounds that you'd hear. Like, you know, if he's videotaping a flying saucer hovering over the neighborhood, wouldn't there be a lot of people around commenting on what the hell is that? But it's completely quiet.
Yeah. It just wouldn't be this clown out there with a camera, right?
Right, right. So although it looks good, and a lot of members have given some very good reasons for it to be hoaxed, and others likewise given very good reasons for it not to be a hoax, it's one of those situations where while it looks great, the scenario, the situation that the video is in doesn't lend credence to the fact that it could be real. Another thread, this time posted by thread author. No, go ahead. Did you have a comment?
Oh, no, I'm waiting for this next one from Jack Thomas Chick.
Yeah, look at that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, this smacks of Oprah, doesn't it?
It's who knows. same-sex couples could create children. And the thread author is Jack Thomas Chick, and there has been some speculation if this is indeed,
and he's been banned. Jack Chick, I noticed.
Yeah, the Jack Chick of the famous Jack Chick tracks, and so there was some research being done into that. And yes, things get intense, and this guy is no longer gracing us with his username. But anyway, posted on the 16th, a scientific technique that could allow same-sex couples to create their own biological child in a laboratory should be allowed under law, a group of influential scientists said on Monday. And the thread goes on, 217 replies, some really heated. Apparently, you're very familiar with this thread. Are you
this
very technique yourself? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I tell you, I love the ones that get the most views and get the most flags and whatever. I mean, 9 times out of 10, I mean, it's some really controversial stuff, Bill.
Yeah. Or just incredible.
Imagine that at ATS.
Right? Yeah, really. But you know the thing about this. Now this reminds me of the Oprah thing about where the two lesbians, and I thought one of them was a transsexual, whatever, that I did a week or so ago. But I mean, they're basically talking about taking the sperm and eggs of contributors. Now, obviously, I can understand about the two males creating one in the lab, but how would two females do it? They don't. They'd have to get like a donor, right?
Isn't there a YouTube video that was recent? And that's completely off track.
What, the YouTube video or my comment?
Yeah, no. I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time with that thread.
Okay.
I was so focused on a few other things this week.
Mowing your yard.
Yeah. Right.
Sorry.
No, but this is a topic that's been around science and science news for several years. The ability to for same-sex couples to create children actually has been in science fiction quite a bit as well, where it's, you know, we're no longer procreating in the physical sense, if you will.
Right.
So it's certainly you know, we're at that turning point in science where it looks like something like this is possible, and it's been something that's been speculated for a long time. So it's not a surprise to see this topic on ATS.
Have you found any other ones that you think are of interest that you want to discuss before we
Moving right along, a few more that are really interesting and have a lot of merit. We have a lot of threads that got a lot of replies this week. This one from the News Forum by Biggie Smalls. Iran, the most powerful nation in the world, says the president of Iran. And 212 replies posted on April 17th. He's proclaimed that Iran is the most powerful nation in the world as the country's air force boasted of its prowess at the time of mounting tension with the West. And he's quoted as saying, Iran is the most powerful and independent nation in the world. And a lot of drum beating and breast pounding going on from Iran as tensions build. And, it feels a lot like, 2003 all over again, doesn't it?
It really does.
Nonsense. Moving on, this is a really interesting thread by Budsky. A lot of great information in this. 192 replies, 30 flags, started on April 17th. Free Tibet, hell, free America.
Yeah, really. I'm right with him on that, you know.
Yeah, and if you go to the site and you click on the hot tab or the top tab, this thread appears in both the hot topics and top topics for the week. And go in and have a look at this one. I'm not going to spoil the buildup, but I was reading through this thread, and there is just so much excellent information in this. Basically, taking the position that America, it really is in a serious problem. And if after reading the opening post and some of the replies, especially into the fourth and fifth page of this thread, it is well worth your time to go through and read the entire thing.
He always has threads, Bill, that really, I think, really garner just what I consider good banter amongst the membership. He never seems to post anything that, where everybody's slamming each other, but everybody, give their 2 cents in a decent, civil way.
Right. He sparks a conversation, which is always very good.
Well, before we get into our member questions here, Bill.
Well, I have two more.
He's not through.
All righty.
Wait for it. He'll let you know when he's ready for the members, John.
Two more. Got a lot of replies that are very interesting, and they poke into more of the core conspiracy theory that's happening on Above Top Secret. Oz Weatherman posted a thread titled The Chemtrail Myth, and he has a really interesting and rather complex and detailed opening post. And then 187 replies after that. Really good discussion, updated discussion, a lot of new information that if you're interested in chemtrails or debunking chemtrails or proving chemtrails, this is a great updated thread where there's been a lot of new research and new information that made it into this particular one. So a very good read for those who are interested in that. And then it feels like we need a drum roll. 183 replies from this thread from Logician Magician, titled "The Earth is Flat, Proof in Model."
And I love this one.
Yes, this guy really, he spent a lot of time putting together a diagram and describing it as to prove that the Earth is flat and that the reason it looks like a globe from space is that gravity is bending light. I'll leave it at that, and you can read the thread and make up your own mind.
I think he's a nut, personally, because, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. The Earth is not flat, baby puppy. Okay. Anyway, are you ready to get into what has become your favorite thing to do, and that's the member questions?
There's nothing more I'd rather do right now.
Isn't this Johnny would be allowed to interject what he wanted to try to do about 5 minutes ago? Hello? Sorry. Remember the sick guy over here?
Sorry. Go ahead, John. Bill just cut you off. It wasn't me.
All righty, then. The one thing I just wanted to point out is a lot of people wonder what kind of people come to AboveTopSecret.com, and I just wanted to comment that just recently in the Guardian UK newspaper, there was an article about the pop singer Robbie Williams, who has recently started becoming a kind of a converted ufologist slash researcher. He's become right. extremely interested. And in this article, the very first line out of his mouth is that he frequents a lot of sites like AboveTopSecret.com. And I just wanted to say over this podcast, thank you, Robbie, for coming to our site.
Some people actually have said that he actually is the United Kingdom's version of the king and is the king in the United Kingdom.
An updated version. Yeah, he definitely has that irreverence and sort of the modern irreverence and kicking the establishment in the face kind of attitude that I certainly like a lot.
And I'll make an open offer that if you would like to come on the ATS Mix in an interview,
love it.
The offer is open at any time.
Would love it. We'll pay for the call. We'll call you on your Learjet or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a little short on cash. I'll need
Yeah. I love that guy, though. Man, he's really terrific. Okay, well, before we get into your questions, Bill, I just got to ask you one question. Do you know who Marissa Tomei is?
Oh, God.
Let's see. My cousin Vinny.
Yeah. You know, the hot chick, Marissa Tomei, that was in My Cousin Vinny, and a lot of things.
George Costanza from Seinfeld. That was his dream girl.
That's right.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, I got a little hint for you. After watching this movie called Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which is now out on DVD, Marissa Tomei is now my best friend. I love this girl. God, she's hot.
That sounds like one of those direct-to-DVD movies.
This was not just a direct-to-DVD movie. Anyway, if you haven't had a chance, ladies and gentlemen, to go rent Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, it's a very powerful movie. A very powerful movie. Anyway, she's hot. So anyway, okay, now to member questions, now that I've got that on my system. Plus, Johnny wasn't going to let me put it in anywhere else in the show, and so I figured I'd do it on Bill's show. All right, first member question, EJ Saunders, Bill, and he's got several, and we eliminated the ones that have already been asked. But he has an interesting question here. He says, what was the weirdest thing, Bill, that's ever occurred on ATS since you've owned ATS?
Weirdest thing?
Yeah, as far as, it's a conspiracy website. You know, I mean, you see, something's happened since you've been a part as the owner that was just totally weird, and it just, you went, wow, you know, kind of hits you in the chops. Whether it be interesting, factual, you know, off
so
the wall.
Things. I mean, it's hard to pick one.
Well, just name one or two that you like, then.
Let me think. I think one of the weirdest things from an eye-opener was the fact that, it would have been almost 4 years ago now, maybe like 3.5 years ago, where a defense contractor was actually hired to run a brief little hoax on Above Top Secret that did indeed involve some level of secret information, and the hoax was to gauge how we would react if a real semi-secret information was revealed on ATS. The reason the hoax was exposed is because that defense contractor who was hired to post on ATS actually started liking ATS, and he couldn't stand what he's being hired to do, and he let the cat out of the bag.
Wow, that's interesting.
So there's a lot of information in the about this in the really above top secret forum.
Yeah, the rats area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the rats area. And if you do some research into the old threads back into 2004, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
A member by the name of GAOTU789. And sorry, I can't even attempt to pronounce that. Do you know anybody know how you pronounce that?
Go to you.
Go to you 789 says, okay, boss, is there any plans in the works to hold host an above top secret official event? It was mentioned during November 5th buildup that there was a possibility in the future, and I was wondering if anything more concrete has come about.
Nothing more than we're still working on planning it and trying to decide on the appropriate time and venue. Likely the first one will be in New York City, and it will be something that's done in partnership with the company we've been working a lot with, who has supplied our videos and is publishing our book, the Disinformation Company. And we're still working on appropriate venue. Probably going to be a two-day event, a conspiracy-themed convention, if you will, hopefully in the heart of New York City.
Cool.
Okay. Member Chud he has this kind of this preamble thing that he goes into, but basically he's talking about aliens and UFOs and how there's all kinds of posts there. And I'm just going to take one of these things. You know, when we come across threads, Bill, in the forums that are legitimate kind of nutsy things, he kind of lends his thoughts to it. Would we be better off simply eliminating the threads, you know, which have a could be a potential harm to the reputation of ATS? Or are we keeping our same stance? I mean, is that a better way just to let everybody see what people have said, even though we end up banning them or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, we've wrestled with this for years. It seems as though it comes in waves where, you know, suddenly members are sort of asking for us to police the topics a little bit better and, you know, label hoax threads more quickly or decide that things are a hoax more quickly or just remove threads like that more proactively. And that puts us into the role of being of having editorial control, which is one area, as you know, that we simply don't want to be. We want that to be up to our members. The best thing for our members to do is if they see something they think is crap, don't reply.
Right.
Just
ignore it.
Die. Right.
Yeah, just ignore it.
That is happening more and more. We're seeing more of that going on where threads that really are crap tend to die a rather quick death. Some don't, but still, some do. And really, that's the best way. We want to leave everything that's on ATS up to the members that are posting and have no control. I have no control over what shows up on the homepage or the forum summary pages. It's completely up to the members. And that's how I want to keep it.
The member known as High Frequency asks us, first and foremost, thank you for all your hard work and everything that you and the amigos and the staff do in making this site such a great community. My question is this, are there any threads that you consider your personal favorites? And if so, which ones are they?
Mm. Let's redo this one for next week, and I'll come back with an updated version of my favorite threads over the past couple of years or something like that.
But we know 9/11 is your hotspot, though, right?
It's not necessarily my hotspot. It's just, you know, overall, you know, political and you know, conspiracies along those lines are my hotspot, and 9/11 falls within that zone. So it's not so much 9/11, but 9/11 is in the zone that is my hotspot. So. Yeah, I'll come back with for next week with some of my favorite threads from ATS.
And what Bill is basically saying, he'll take it under advisement. All right, Star Skipper, is there a plan in place, Bill, for you and the ATF staff if you were approached with someone with real physical proof, an example, a body, a ship, Bigfoot, whatever, that the person would be willing to surrender if you would be or if it would be implemented to ensure safety and confidentiality, but to still conform to ATS values of inform and educate, would you allow, if you were approached with some physical proof, would you protect somebody basically? Would we put somebody under a cloak of protection or whatever if they wanted to come to us with some kind of thing that unequivocally says whatever we believe is happening is in truth fact?
Well, certainly. There's only so much protection that you can provide. I mean, if the quote-unquote government wants to get somebody who's detailing information, they're certainly going to find out as much as they can, you know, all kinds of subpoenas and everything. But yes, we would do what we could. And there's lots of techniques, being a website like we are, that we can sort of ensure almost a don't ask, don't tell policy where there is the ability to keep some privacy, but we also have been doing that behind the scenes. There has been a couple pieces of contact over the, let's say, just in the past 6 months, where yes, we have gotten some pretty provocative information. Especially Mark has had access to something that could be physically from a UFO.
Right.
And behind the scenes, I mean, nobody knows this is going on. We've been engaged in, you know, looking deeper, even spending some money to run some tests,
right?
In the hopes that we do have something, that's as much as you're going to know, because we are keeping the identity of these people that have contacted us secret while we do what we can to do diligence from our end to see if it really is something.
Well, that actually kind of goes hand in hand with our last question here. Zero Ghost wanted to know this. Could ATS create a special formal investigation area that is not only anonymous but also safe and out of the chat playpen for people who want to tell us their secrets and disclosures, maybe partnership with different organizations like MUFON or New Fork and leverage member professionals? And then he goes into some detail of what some of these professionals might be, such as MDs and PhDs and former government professionals. And he ends it, this could be the most professional network of transparent volunteer study of anything ever in history. And he said people would come to ATS like they come to CNN for the news and analysis. Authoritative leveraged intelligence. Could this be in the future of ATS, or will someone else have to do something like this?
This very well could be in the future. In fact, we have already been approached by credentialed professors from a college who have some very real concerns about a few, let's just call it medical conspiracies from the medical arena that they feel the government may be complicit, and we're looking to see if we could provide a private and secure venue for them to interact with others across the globe to do some more research. That has recently happened, and we have been approached, and it certainly is something that we could help facilitate as these things are presented to us.
Would we then, I just want to add this one thing. Would we then want to make it an open door policy that if some professional in that world, whether it be medical or former government, if they wanted to come forward to offer their assistance, that they could contact you?
Yeah, certainly. People have contacted us. I mean, the contact form is really easy to find. We've had a lot of bits of contact like this over the years. Some could be something. Others are just, obviously not something. We're easy to get in touch with, and they can make contact that way. We're open to see what we can do to help, again, to help groups of people come together and deny ignorance and find the facts. With over 4 million posts, and especially with our new search feature that's been added, ATS is a treasure trove of information on a lot of different things. And in this particular medical conspiracy, that's what drew the people to ATS in the first place, is there was just a more information about this particular issue posted to ATS, they were saying, than all other websites combined in the research they were doing.
Well, speaking of that, as we end your show, Bill, just briefly tell us about how exciting this new search feature is that's at the top of every page, pretty much up there with the tabs. Tell us about the new search engine that you just created.
Well, it's about 3 years ago, we launched a Boolean search capability. And for those that aren't really into computer logic and programming and crap like that, the ability to use a Boolean logic to search a database can give you an incredibly granular result of great accuracy. However, the ability to do that type of search adds a load to the database for everything that it does, just to make sure that it can facilitate those searches. So we disabled that some time ago because those searches were rather intense. And once we launched the new database server not too long ago, it was time to bring back search. It was completely reprogrammed. I think it's a little bit interesting and different than the options and the returns that you see on other discussion forums for search, where we have some pretty detailed results that are much more ATS-like because we're different than any other board. And you can drill down pretty deep. You can see all the posts from a member if that member comes up in your search returns. You can drill in pretty deep through the search that we have, and we've even improved just the basic Google search as well. But one of the things the members were always asking for is if we can just search some keywords and thread titles. And that's actually, since the search was launched and I've been watching the activity, out of everyone accessing that page, two-thirds are searching on thread titles, and the other one-third is everything else, either tags or posts or the Google search. So that's the most popular search people are using right now.
Hmm. Well, you know what my basic criteria is on how well a search engine does is I, of course, put
if you can use it?
But I'm bump.
Number one. And number two, I always put Dave Rabbit in. And I just see marvelous.
Who knew?
That I have done. But you know what's really amazing? You know, several months ago, I was explaining to someone how the old search worked, you know, with the Google search. And I didn't know how to spell Johnny's name. Well, now that I know how to spell Johnny's name 9 months later, it really works when I put Johnny Anonymous in there. And I spell it A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S. I almost lost it again. Anyway, the search engine feature really is terrific, Bill. You did. I gave you kudos privately, but I'll give you kudos on the show. I mean, it's absolutely a life-changing event for those on ATS that want to find something. It really is. And even our brethren in the cosmic area have also said that, from the standpoint that now you can put in specific words or phrases or whatever, and you can pull up every single thread that is on ATS for the last 10 years or however far back it goes that data is still available. And, boy, talk about a great research tool for people that want to write papers or, you know, do TV shows or whatever, and they're looking for research on our site. I mean, it's just amazing, Bill. Congrats.
Well, thank you. It was a brain twister trying to get the same level of functionality without the Boolean capabilities, but I think we came pretty close.
Yeah, it really is. All right, Bill. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time. I know your masseuse is coming in later to give you a massage with some suntan lotion and bringing you a drink, I'm sure. And would you please go kill that recorder that we left?
Yeah, don't forget to delete that message.
The family, please.
Can't wait to hear it.
It's not that bad. Anyway, if you have a question for the Skeptic Overlord, please go to the ATS Mix information area. Go to the web topic, which is Ask the Skeptic Overlord. Post your question, and I guarantee you that somewhere down the way, as we get to the questions, Bill is going to answer it for you. So, Bill, again, we appreciate the time, and hope your sunburn gets better, bro.
All right,
man.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the time. See ya.
Bye-bye, Bill.
ATS Mix featured interview.
Hey, John. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Good. How is that new promotion that you're trying to do on your website for Chick-fil-A doing?
For who?
You know, the one where they got that sign up there now that has, mutilate more beef.
I have no idea. You guys, I love you guys. If anybody ever took you seriously.
Yeah, we'd all be in trouble.
..
I mean, but don't you get the humor of that? I mean, you're in the biggest cattle mutilation area in the world, and now you have a sign up there telling the aliens, you know, eat more beef?
No, I would suggest considering the situation with beef in the United States, reflecting back on that beef they found in California, they were about to feed all those school children that they had to recall.
Yeah.
Over what, a billion pounds.
Yep.
A lot of meat. You know.
Golly, I didn't know about that.
You might want to say that to enemies. Huh?
Well, when did that happen? Just recently?
Was over a month ago. There was some film that came out of a meat processing plant down there that showed that they were using animal torture to get the animals to stand up. Because according to laws, you're not allowed to render an animal or, you know, to kill an animal for food that isn't able to stand up on its own 2 feet. So they were actually using cattle prods and different types of torture to get the animals to temporarily stand up. So according to their records, they could say it was standing. And of course, the animals would collapse right back down again, and they would shuffle them off to get butchered. And this meat was headed off to be processed for ground beef and everything for school children.
Ooh.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Thank God we're all graduated, huh?
Well, the thing is that our children haven't. Right. And with that kind of behavior and the type of oversight that it has, it's not a good sign. You know, if we're starting...
So what did they do, John? What, did they confiscate all that meat bank?
No,
is that
they
what happened?
They recalled over a billion pounds of that meat.
A billion pounds?
Right.
Jesus.
That's a lot of meat. Getting to the thing, and now that relates directly back to what we've been discovering, or I've discovered here in Montana with the cattle mutilations, is that I'm going to direct everybody to my site back at reptoids.com. And if you go there, there's a link to a page. The link is titled Montana Biohazards, Mutilation Biohazards. And if you click on that, you'll actually be able to see the page that I have made that has some information on it that people are going to find really interesting. If you click on the map part where it says Montana Mutilation Biohazard Map,
all right.
Johnny and Dave, you're going to be looking at a map that has been created that covers an area across Montana that has red pins on it, and the red pins right. represent 125-plus cattle mutilations that have happened since 1975.
Wow.
Some of these red dots actually represent 10 mutilations, but they're so tightly grouped. One of the things I noticed in my research is trying to plot these things out on maps and see if there's any connection between them. And when you do, you noticed on that they all seem to form a line going from the northwest to the southeast of the state
right.
over a large area. And when you start seeing what's at the points of these lines, the prevalent wind flows actually go from northwest to southeast across the state. So what I did is I looked at the leading edge of where all these cattle mutilations were happening, trying to figure out what might be connecting them, and what I did discover was an area that had several pig farms located on them. Now, pig farms are like the regular animal feedlot operations that house pigs, and they raise them from being, you know, small little piglets up to full size to where then they're butchered and, of course, sold as meat all across Montana and the United States. And in looking at these pig operations up there on the leading edge of where this line is, I realized that if you looked on a map, you could actually see where all the dots on the map representing the cattle mutilations actually form to a pinpoint directly at those pig farms. And the more I started researching the situation with pig farms and animal feeding operations to see if there's anything connected with what somebody might be inspecting these animals for, I discovered that over in Europe, as well as in Canada, scientists have recently done studies over the last 2 or 3 years that have found that MRSA, which is a biological condition that you can get, an infection that doesn't respond to any kind of antibiotics for infections. It's called the superbug, the next big superbug we have, that MRSA, this pathogen, actually has been found to be colonized in the nasal passages of 50% of all the pig farmers in Canada, as well as several European countries.
Hmm.
Now, that doesn't really make much, doesn't really do anything when these organisms are attached to your mucous membranes inside your nose, because that's what the some of the soft tissue linings were meant for, is to capture pathogens floating free in the air and in your nose. But they have, the World Health Organization has also said that they don't want these antibiotics to be used anymore in meat, because they found that 15% of all retail meat in Europe had MRSA in it.
Hmm.
But the United States refuses to test retail meat for MRSA. Now, up in Montana, we've had outbreaks of this MRSA that have sent people to hospitals, and it's been very deadly. What they're doing up there in these pig farms is, if you look at where all these mutilations are happening, the mutilation sites that occur outside the wind flow direction are actually connected by streams and rivers to the main area to where pathogens would come from. They're taking the pig feces from these operations, they're putting them in with water, and they're spraying this up into the air around their fields. And pathogens like MRSA originate from the feces of pigs. When you give pigs antibiotics, or cattle antibiotics, 80% of the antibiotic actually remains intact and passes through the feces. So what we have is water that contains fecal matter that contains different types of pathogens being spread up into the air into a fine mist, and the water is falling onto the fields and the wind is carrying some of these fine mists with these pathogens down a line, the prevalent wind flow line, directly over the areas where you're seeing all the cattle mutilations happen. The thing is that if you check back and check into veterinarian pathology, you recognize that the tests that are that veterinarians give to animals, including cows, to see about their pathogen contamination is that they take parts of the soft tissues around the inside of the mouth, the tongue, also the nose, the orifices. They can take it around the teats or the uterus area, I mean the bladder, the udder area. They can also have what they call an ear notch test, which is something that they give cows to see about pathogens in the air and if they've attached to the animal, because the ear doesn't get subjected to being licked or anything like that, and it's a perfect colonizing ground for airborne pathogens. These are the same body parts that are being taken from the cows during these mutilations. Now, why is somebody leaving them behind? I've always wondered why not just take the cow and drop it up in the mountains or incinerate it in some instances? Why are they leaving the cows behind on the farms to be found?
Right.
And my belief is that somebody's trying to direct it to our attention that something's, we should be looking into the cow's physical condition and to see if there's anything in that cow that could hurt us through the food chain or our community around it. The thing about this situation with the MRSA is that if we're finding out now in Europe and in Canada that these deadly pathogens can attach themselves to our community through water runoff into infiltrating the water table or getting on fruits and vegetables or getting on the crops that the cows are eating, these different types of pathogens are going to make it into our food chain. And they actually do sicken an entire community. And the World Health Organization right now is actually trying to ban the use of antibiotics for animal feeding operations because they say, listen, they're given to the animals prophylactically, which means that even though there's no sign of disease, they give them the antibiotics anyway because, hey, it's going to make a healthier animal. It'll make them gain more weight. We can fatten them up, get more money for our food because there's more weight on the animal, and reduce the amount of natural animal deaths because of diseases. So the other half is that they use is for actually treating diseased animals. I think it was like 90% of all the antibiotics used in the United States are used in animal feeding operations.
Hmm.
Humans only use about 10%.
Hey, John, can I ask you a question while we're on the map, and we want to direct everybody to John's site at reptoids.com, and we are in exploring the Montana mutilation biohazard map on his site. You know, I know what a detailed person you are, John. I mean, you've got a legend down there at the bottom, and it shows obviously the biohazard coverage area. Then you have a little legend that for a nuclear silo. I assume this is for like ICBM missiles or something.
I've erased numerous of those locations on the map because I've left some of them there, but I've erased the majority of them because I'm not out to reveal anything that may be sensitive as far as.
Gotcha. Okay, then here again, you've got your little red map pin for the mutilation size, which we're discussing. Then I find another thing that's interesting. You have two more on the legend map, and one is where the UFO sightings have been reported. And then you have one that I find extremely interesting, and that's the animal feedlot. Now, I've noticed that in almost all cases, except for up in the northern area of the map, in the lower area of the map, in the biohazard area, you have animal feedlots that are almost directly just a stone's throw from the cattle mutilation sites. And then you have like a cluster in that lower triangular area to where you have nuclear sites, which, as you say, some are there and some are not there. But it seems to be like a clustered area in that southern region that seems to be a real hotbed to where they're all your legend, little icons are right there in one area.
Right. Actually, what we're looking at is we're, from your perspective, looking at this map, we're actually facing southeast. That southeast exposure is where the wind flow is. So you see it as a triangulated area because, you know what, even if you were like a smoke bomb, it starts at a given point, but then it spreads further and further to the left and the right as the wind spreads it outwards.
Right.
So that's where you're getting this coverage area. The actual yellow pins that are for the animal feedlots are where the pig farms are, and they also include chickens. One of the things I found out here in Montana, and it's a very political thing. You see, livestock supports a lot of the money coming into the state. It's the third economic rail here. And in 2002, a Judge Hansel here in Helena, Montana, the capital, had actually ordered the Department of Environmental Quality to do a statewide environmental impact study on how animal feeding operations affect the water tables and the environment around the state. And nobody wanted to do this environmental impact study. As a matter of fact, the Department of Environmental Quality stalled on it for a period of 3 years until they finally pushed through the legislation, certain laws that made the judge's order obsolete. And to this very day, they still do not maintain a database that has the physical locations of all the animal feeding operations listed. Now, considering that biohazards from animal feeding operations are a very real thing, for example, in just recently the EPA forged 100, or created, I should say, I was thinking forged like steel, I don't want to mislead anybody, created a 185-page report on pathogens and their effects coming from animal feeding operations, and they were stating how deadly this all was, and it needed to be more regulated, more studied. But here in Montana, knowing this kind of thing, they still have not have any kind of a listing to where you know where the physical locations of animal feeding operations are. And if any of these diseases erupt from any one of these areas, then it would be really hard to track them down when you don't even have their physical locations listed. And it's very difficult for environmentalists to turn around and check the streams and the rivers nearby these facilities to see if they've been somehow contaminated, because they don't know where they're located. So it's a political hot potato here. And in regards to the animal mutilations that are occurring up here, somebody is definitely trying to draw this to our attention. And maybe the politics doesn't allow for an open announcement of any kind of nature to bring this to the public's attention, but somehow some rogue group out there, whether alien or human, or you know, rogue scientific group or something that has UFO technology at their fingertips, somebody's trying to warn us. It's just a matter of everybody getting up and yelling about it and saying, I'm sick and tired of it and I'm not going to take anymore.
Right. The area that you have here on the map, John, I'm just curious, what are we talking about in scale? How many miles is this, starting from the vanishing point out to the ends of the triangle of the direction of wind flow?
The direction of wind flow actually covers a width of about 175 miles, and it extends out over 200 miles. The thing about it that's really important is that directed wind flow takes everything directly over Great Falls. And Great Falls is a very, very large city here with an Air Force base on it. And when you start looking, anybody out there investigating UFO activity or any kind of phenomenon, they really need to be able to get out their maps like in the old days and put push pins in it and be able to see if there's any kind of a patterns that reveal themselves.
Right.
Because there are patterns all over the place. It's just a matter of, you know, sticking to your guns and actually checking it out and looking at them. The other thing is that when I started, and I'll draw everybody's attention to this on the map, if you go back to the main page, you will also see another page linked down there, bottom left-hand side, 2007 cattle mutilations. These were, after I started looking at cattle mutilations and drawing lines out, I'll find a cattle mutilation and I'll say, okay, is it connected with the missile silo site? And I would draw a direct line between the missile silo site and the cow. And then see if anything's happening along that line or any kind of a connection. I didn't see anything about it in 2006 with the John Peterson cattle mutilation that I investigated until later I discovered actually right directly on line between where that cow is located and the missile silo site, test hole had been dug for well water to test the water, underground water at that point, and it fell right directly on that line between the cow and the site, the missile site. So then I, realizing, okay, now that's kind of interesting, it fell right on line. It seemed like doing this mutilation investigation, whoever might be involved might actually be observing our processes by which we're investigating and playing games with us, because in 2007 there were two calves mutilated. These calves, when they were mutilated, the farmers went out to the fields. They were about a mile and a half apart from each other. When they got out there, it had been raining and snowing the night before, so the field was wet. When they actually arrived on the scene where the calf was laying, they stepped up onto dry ground. In other words, it was muddy all the way up to their ankles, and all of a sudden they stepped up on firm ground. What they discovered was a circle had been created in the field. All the crop stubble had been laid down like a crop circle, but not in a geometric pattern. And the rain that was falling on the ground was hitting it, and it looked had a glossy appearance. And the rain was just bouncing off the ground. It wasn't permeating the top layer and getting into the soil, so it had a lighter color. Now, when I looked at this first mutilation that was done, and I drew a line straight from the cattle mutilation to the nearest missile silo, which was about half a mile away, if you continue that line directly out straight, it falls dead center of a pig farm. Yeah. So in other words, if it was a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, the line would not be directly falling on the pig farm. So it's almost like there's a geometrical connection that whoever's doing the cattle mutilations is maybe actually trying to get us to draw lines directly to what they're trying to point out. But you need three points to point that out.
Right.
John, has there ever been a mutilation of an animal up there other than a cow?
Yeah, there have been other animals mutilated, but up in Montana, it's mostly cows. You know, I would say at least 95% of them are mostly cows. But you got to understand that most of what we produce here for the United States consumption is cows. If you start introducing pathogens into cows and steers, and they have offspring, and new bulls are created, that bull semen, that's prized semen for sale around the United States and the world for becoming headstock for all their animals that they raise, is going to somehow be mutated according to the pathogen that was introduced in the parent population, which would have been produced up here in Montana. So you can see where the food chain would suddenly get affected all over the place. So it's just a fascinating, it's just been a fascinating investigation, and it gets back to this thing about corporate greed, because corporations are the ones who have these large farming cattle operations now. We remember that most of the cattle operations in the United States actually were taken over by corporations starting in mid-1970s, which coincides with the beginning of large waves of cattle mutilations and animal mutilations all across the United States. So instead of, you know, one or two farmers putting like 50 pigs in a house or 150 cows on their farm, you had huge farming operations open up, especially like in the panhandle of Texas, down in Colorado, and more recently down in Brazil where you have cattle mutilations. These actually house animals up to the thousands under one roof. If they were free range, different, but when they're nose to nose, a lot of contaminated disease gets passed back and forth between the animals really easily. So they keep pumping up and ramping up the amount of antibiotics that they're given. And you know, we become, our immune systems become compromised, because you know, the more medications you take, hey, the weaker your immune system is to the stuff that we get. But maybe we're not going to the doctors more. Maybe a lot of this resistance is being built up in our systems because we're eating meat that's been tainted with different types of antibiotics and such.
Well, you know,
drinking milk that's tainted.
On that note, that you're talking about, I went back to your page there on the Montana mutilation biohazard, and right below where you can click on the image for the larger view of the map, you've got a little detailed bit of information there about MRSA, and you have some photographs there. I'm guessing one is an actual electron microscope photograph of the bacteria itself or the pathogen. And then I guess, now is that a human that the infection is on?
Yeah, that's his arm. Actually, MRSA kills more people in the United States than AIDS. 19,000 people a year.
How long have we known about MRSA?
It's been known for a long time, but the thing was is that it wasn't really something infectious into the community until more recently, because things on a biological level start evolving. And when they start evolving like that, it starts taking different routes into the community. On that same page with that map there, you're going to see something further down. It says, click on image for larger view. It's a white chart.
Right.
And when you click on that, that's part of an EPA report that I was telling you. I had to redo it a little bit just to make the print look better.
Right.
But it gives you a source there, and it shows how animal feeding operations introduce pathogens into the environment. And there's a whole bunch of arrows that show how things like this are passed around.
Jeez.
Wow.
And it's awful once you look at that.
Oh, Christ. Well, I tell you, like, I got to go back to the page originally. And I just want to restate what this says. MRSA kills more people than HIV and AIDS, 19,000 people a year. You know, that figure blows me away.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. It's one of those things that's being underreported because, like I said, the Europeans pointed out that, hey, the United States refuses to test retail meat for MRSA on the retail store shelves. Now, why are they so worried about testing meat on the retail store shelves?
Yeah.
Are they afraid they're going to find something in it that the American public is going to go, oh, my God, I'm not eating beef anymore? Because look what happened to Oprah Winfrey when she said, I'd never eat beef again.
Right.
She got sued.
Well, yeah, she got sued. She lost everything.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is that, you know, hey, there's pathogens and there's environmental hazards everywhere you look. This is just one more. And it's not every piece of meat. It's just over certain areas have certain problems.
Right.
And,
Well, John, what I want to do, you know, I mean, because we're running, you know, a little short of time, but I want to be sure we cover the third thing that's new on your site, and that's
well,
the Bishop.
Well, hang on. If I can just interject something here real quick. I'm just curious, John, in your investigation and doing all this, you know, these boss hogs that are in it for all the money, they must not be happy with somebody like yourself coming forward. Do you ever find yourself that you have placed, that you are in a position where you actually may be a little fearful for what's going on around you?
Not really, because, you know, if you operate out of fear, where is that going to take you? I mean, there's not anywhere you can really go. I just know that I would find it difficult to live with myself if I were to discover something like this and not say anything.
Right.
Because, you know, by our own silence, we're partly guilty for whatever's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if a law enforcement officer knew that an accident was going to occur, a murder was going to occur, by not saying anything, I feel that he's partially responsible for allowing it to occur, having it happen.
Right.
I think that we all owe that to each other.
Let's go to Bishopville Lizard Man before we run out of time, John. Tell me about the Bishopville Lizard Man guy.
Hey, the Bishopville Lizard Man, back in 1988, a young man by the name of Christopher Davis saw what he had described as a lizard man running across a field towards him in the middle of the night as he was changing a tire along the swamp road. He hustled it back in the car, started to drive off, and this thing ran and jumped on his vehicle, and he started swerving left and right to try and shake it off, but he could see that it had three fingers and an opposable thumb and scales, and when it was running towards him across the field, when he first saw it, it was about 6 to 7 feet tall, looked like a man, scaled or green, he said, and it looked like it had red glowing eyes. He finally managed to whip this thing off his car by swerving about. He got back to his parents' house, and it took them a couple hours to keep him from stop him from crying because he was so shaken. He actually passed a polygraph test given by the sheriff down there, and after that event, there were numerous events similar to that being reported by individuals down at Bishopville, South Carolina. One of the great witnesses was a colonel that was about to be promoted to general in the Army Corps of Engineers. He has spent 20-plus years in the Pentagon driving with his wife back from a wedding rehearsal. She was asleep, and he said he saw running alongside his car doing an excessive 30 miles an hour what looked to be like a half man, half dinosaur that turned around and looked at him, and then had crossed the road real quickly, and his wife woke up. He drew the picture, reported it to the sheriff's department, then upon advice of his attorney, refused to make a statement, a public statement. Years later, I guess this ate away at him a little bit. He decided to finally come forward and say something, and a news station that was going to interview him, the day before the interview took place, he died of a heart attack.
Wow.
So, yeah.
See, what a weird coincidence.
Yeah, so, you know, and at the time, Dan Rather reported on it. Peter Van Sant went down there and did a report on it. It was on all the newspapers around the world. They got the whole city, the whole town kind of turned into a circus. But throughout time, there's been reports of this same creature being spotted, and just recently somebody had seen that their vehicle had been torn up a bit, and when you look at the damage to the vehicle, it just looks more, it took more strength than a human being to do the damage to the vehicle that was found. And the damage was very much like damage that was done to a Ford LTD back in 1988 during this whole Lizard Man event. And the interesting thing about it is that you have to remember, ma'am, that only 5% of animal life forms have been discovered on Earth. So we're looking conservatively about anywhere from 100 million to 200 million life forms out there that we have yet to discover. And the more we start looking and communicating with these animals under laboratory conditions and knowing and developing methods of communication, the more intelligent we're finding nature.
Right.
So who's to say that some other animal out there hasn't developed enough intelligence to communicate with man, be equal to man, or actually even perhaps surpass man technologically underground here on Earth? And I just keep challenging everybody, as I have for the last 20 years, stop using the words extraterrestrials or ETs and start using phrases like other than human intelligences or non-human intelligent beings. Because as long as we keep saying ETs or extraterrestrials, we might be doing our fellow man a disservice by distracting their attention from where the real habitation of these animals is. That's right here underground under our very feet.
Hmm. Yeah, and one thing I'd like to bring all our listeners' attention to when you click on this particular shortcut, which is the Bishopville Lizard Man, John's has painstakingly put some things on there that I think you're going to find real interesting, and when you click on them, they become larger. One is the initial image that Christopher drew for the police department. And then the thing that I really find interesting, I mean, there's a little map there that shows where it took place. I really find interesting the images that John has on the site about the statements that was given to Sheriff Liston Truesdell by the Blithers family. And it's not only the mother, but it's also Johnny's deal. And then I think is it Tamasia? Is that the way it's pronounced?
Tamasia, right.
Tanasia, whatever.
Johnny's dead now. He didn't survive that event.
Yeah, but he still made a written statement which you have documented here, which I think is amazing.
And Sheriff Liston Truesdell isn't just a boss. He's not some kind of like a yokel local sheriff. This guy was FBI trained. I mean, you know, you're not talking about people that are presented in the media as being just, you know, southern sheriffs with a big pot belly and a big tall hat that walking around with, you know, a shotgun under their arm or something like this. This was a very, very intelligent man. And to this very day, when you ask him, what did they see? He'll tell you, well, I don't know, but I know they saw something.
Right.
And it wasn't normal.
Right.
And so that's what's kept him going all his life, pulling the information together and making sure that the public is aware that something's out there. I got to really add really quick as an example of how the media manipulates the information. When Dan Rather sent Peter Van Sant down there to Bishopville to report on it, and I've shown this at a conference before so people can see it visually, when he's reporting and at the end of his report he turns around and says, now, are people down here, you know, really encountering an animal that's unique, that's somehow coming out of the swamp that nobody knows about? And as he's saying this, his head is going from left to right as in the no fashion, like somebody's giving you a visual cue of no. He says, or is this just something being created and whipped up as a fury as part of some big, you know, as part of some big hoax, and his head starts bouncing up and down? Is this an affirmative motion to say yes?
Hmm.
So they're actually visually cueing an audience on CBS News as to how they should feel about this story, how they should react to it. They weren't impartial in the reporting. And I find that really incredible, considering it was CBS News, and you've got reporters that know that's just absolutely something you do not do as a professional reporter. You do not cue an audience like that. But see, being CBS and being one of the big networks, they don't want the rest of the nation to think any of this is true.
Every time we've ever called you, it's always something magical and mystical. And on air, John, we thank you for the months of friendship, and we've really enjoyed our relationship with you, and we'll continue to do so in the future. And I know we can always count on you for exciting and interesting things.
I feel the same way, gentlemen. I know I can always depend on you guys for an intelligent conversation and some really great laughs.
Well, 50% of what you said was correct.
Yeah, the other 50% is not.
Oh, Agent X is calling me right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's Agent X. He's always interrupting our
show. They want to know, are you still talking to that reptoid guy?
That guy
who
never
said I was a reptoid?
He never leaves us alone. Anyway, John, if you, while Agent X is ringing Johnny's phone off the line.
This is an old-fashioned phone, man.
We love that. Well, he has one on the wall, you know, with a little hand crank. So anyway,
a little
John,
dynamo, yeah.
Stay on the line with us, John. We'll say goodbyes off air.
Okay, thank you.
So anyway, that's our interview with John Rhodes. And again, please go to John's website at www.reptoids.com and find some magical and mystical things that John has painstakingly spent a lot of time to provide everybody some information.
And who knows, the information provided may save your life.
Especially with a carthagen or whatever the hell you say it.
Pathogen.
Well, whatever it is. The Mensa. No, wait a minute. That's the guy's
MRSA.
Name.
MRSA.
MRSA. Mensa, MRSA. You say potato, I say potato.
He's mad as hell, and here's why. Who's ready for a rant? ATS Mix presents The Rabbit's Rant. In other words, what the hell is ruffling Dave Rabbit's fur this time?
Relax and enjoy yourself.
This is The Rabbit's Rant.
It is, of course, that time which most people dread. Other people run out of the room. Yes, it's The Rabbit's Rant. Please, don't poke your fingers in the cage. You might get them bit off. It is The Rabbit's Rant. Hello, Senior Rabbit. What are you ranting about today?
Senior Anonymous.
Yes.
Well, you know, I decided that, you know, sometimes the rant's just going to be kind of a plethora of smorgasbord stuff, you know?
A plethora of smorgasbord stuff, yeah. All right.
I do have a legitimate rant. And then, of course, I have a sidebar that I want to throw in that I think is kind of interesting. But the rant is basically we posted a thread on the information area, the ATS Mix area,
yes,
that basically said, you know, that you can get beer now cheaper than you can get a gallon of gas. And a fan of the Dave Rabbit persona email me a picture. I put it up in Cosmic first, and then I put it up as a thread in our show area. And so far, we've gotten like over 1,400 views. And I put our hotline number of 877-417-2204.
That's a toll-free number.
That's right. And the intent, obviously, was that we would have our members simply call in and say, "Hi, I'm Kerry Snodgrass."
I love Kerry Snodgrass.
I love Kerry Snodgrass, and this is how I feel about things. And because really, it's gotten to a ridiculous point about you know, gas. Now people really have to make decisions, John, on whether do they fill up their car with gas to get to their job
or feed their family.
To feed their family, or do they start taking public transportation? As an example,
right?
You know. I can only talk to you about Dallas, okay? Now, this is what I find interesting about Dallas. Now, Dallas developed several years ago the DART system, or Dallas Area Rapid Transit System, that goes all over the Metroplex. Now, their ridership, this is last year, okay, was whatever, thousands of people. And I thought, well, you know, with the gas prices and stuff, people would be – there would be a huge influx of people, you know, riding on the DART rail system now, okay,
right,
to go to different – or through the DART bus system. And you know what's really amazing? And this blows me away. With the gas prices like they are, the ridership is up just a smidgen, but not leaps and bounds like I would think people would do. So people now are doing the same thing they're doing. They're paying more for the gas, but they're cutting somewhere. Okay, John, now what happens is, now where do you cut? Do you cut out going out to dinner one time a week, which most people, if they're lucky, can only go out to dinner one time a week? I'm not talking about fast food. I'm talking about, you know, Chili's or something like that. But, you know, at what point does a family make a decision that they have to cut something out in order to have transportation? You know, what's your thoughts on that?
You mean at what point does gas have to get to before you start actually slacking and hacking a family policy?
Well, you know, are deciding public transportation is a way out.
Or, in lieu of the public transportation, if some people are opposed to that, I don't see why more folks aren't getting together with their friends and their neighbors and kind of carpooling.
Carpooling, you know? Yeah.
If they have a friend, relative, neighbor that's going to be going to the grocery store, why not join along with them so that you can split the gas cost and go buy your groceries and whatnot. But I agree with you. I have wondered how long. I thought if gas got to $4 a gallon, people would be so outraged that we would probably start having some riots. But apparently I was wrong in that concept. But I just heard something from I watch and study the commodities market all the time. And so I watch early morning trader views on the financial channels. And everybody's already talking about that. They're fully expecting that it's going to go to $200 a barrel in oil. And how's that going to have repercussions on the American way of life? Well, I can tell you that right now it's already having an effect, because truckers who are having to rely on diesel to go, you know, coast to coast or wherever they're going with their load, they normally would go, they would get their load, they'd go to the place that they're supposed to drop off, they'd pick up another load and then take it back, so that they've kind of compensated for that cost. And, you know, the price of groceries in the meantime keeps going up. And yeah. So the question arose, he goes, if people are complaining now at $4 a gallon, which they fully expected to be for unleaded here by this summer, what's going to happen when it gets to 5, 6, 7, 8, and then they start talking about $10 a gallon? People will not be able to afford to go to the grocery stores, much less find what they're wanting to buy at the grocery store, because the cost is so much that the truckers weren't able to bring the food in. The suggestion was that you better start loading up now on your 50-pound bags of rice and 50-pound bags of beans, and they got into kind of a survival mode type thing. But it's a weird scenario, and so to answer your question, which I probably should have done in the beginning, I don't know how much it will take. I thought that people would already start rising up now at near $4 a gallon.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a very good point about, you know, people rising up and protesting or whatever. I mean, what good's that going to do? I mean, I heard John McCain the other day make a comment talking about, well, we don't want to put any more, let's, you know, stop for the summer charging the federal tax, which is like 23 cents or whatever a gallon here in Texas. And let's also stop putting all the reserves into the strategic, whatever that thing is, where they have gas stored away somewhere secretly in case, you know, the S hits the fan or whatever. And if you have an opinion that you would like to express, and you can do it in 2 minutes or less, please call our toll-free number for the United States and Canada at 1-877-417-2204. That's 1-877-417-2204. Simply start out by saying your member name at ATS, and then give us your 2 minutes worth of opinion. And the best ones we'll put up on a future show.
And you know what? You know what? We don't have to limit it to just members, because a lot of our listeners here are not necessarily members, although we don't understand why you're not a member yet. Yeah. But if you're not a member and you're just a listening guest, there's no reason why you too can't call that toll-free number and tell us, hey, this is what I'd love to hear, Dave. I'd like to find out how many people that listen to the show from all the different states in the U.S. and also in Canada, anywhere you're listening, I want to find out, and you represent that region or that state and tell us, hi, I'm from Kansas, and beer is cheaper than gas. Of course, that didn't sound anything like a prisoner of Kansas. Sorry about that. I'm still a little...
Send those to Johnny at ATSMix.com.
Keep in mind, I'm still a little frail and ale here, so... But yeah, I'd like to have all the states represented.
Well, that's what we ought to do. We ought to just open this up to anybody, you know? Well, give us a fake name, obviously, if you're not a member.
Or just give us your first name. Don't give us last names.
Yeah.
But we'd love to hear you, folks. I mean, and please understand that the ATS Mix is a radio show, and that is why the thread is locked, because we are not going to read your opinion. We want to hear your opinion. So I guess that's it. I'll leave my sidebar for another time, John.
All right, and that toll-free number again that Dave just mentioned was 1-877-417-2204, and that's toll-free in the United States and also Canada. So call us in and tell us what state you represent and if beer is cheaper than gas in your area.
All right, well, that's it for another show. Great show, John. I really appreciate you soldiering on, as the Skeptic Overlord calls it, with your walking pneumonia bout that you're still dealing with. So on behalf of myself, Dave Rabbit, I'll see you next time.
Yeah, and if I see you before then, I'll see you later, too. We'll see you next time on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll